You know those airplane meals that arrive in those pre-frozen packages, heated up in the back of the plane with condensation leaking from the plastic lid? Yeah, it's not too appetizing. But for years, that's what many kids in schools around the country are getting for lunch every day. And for many of them, that means not eating all day.
Some of us don't even eat the whole day because the food's bad.
Did you eat this?
Nope.
So what did you really eat for lunch today?
This and a cheese stick is what you had for lunch?
Yeah.
And nothing else?
Nope. All I had was milk.
All you had for lunch for today was milk?
Yeah. I had carrots and milk.
What did you have, Carl?
Carrots and milk.
Carrots and milk. What did you have?
I had the sun butter.
You had the sun butter?
Yeah.
What I had?
What did you have for lunch?
Four cheese sticks and milk.
Four cheese sticks and milk and nothing else for lunch today?
Yep.
What did you have for breakfast?
Nothing.
That's Erica Herman, the principal of the Gardner Pilot Academy in Boston, talking with her students about what they eat for lunch from a new documentary called Eat Up. The documentary follows Jill Shaw, a Boston-based entrepreneur and philanthropist, as she sets out to change the lunches in Boston's public schools, working to bring fresh, nutritious food to students around the city. Fiona Turner directed the documentary, and they both joined us in studio. Turner started with the history of the school lunch program.
It was in the 1970s when big food companies started to move into this area and school districts were looking for cheaper ways to feed kids. And the food companies came up with processed food. And we all know what happened after that. Processed meals became part of our diet and they were allowed through legislation to make an appearance in schools. So from the 70s onwards, we've had food management service companies providing food in plastic wraps that's frozen, that sometimes you have this crazy situation where the apples might be grown in Oregon, they're then flown across the country, they're delivered to a processing plant in New York where they're processed, frozen, and then they're shipped up to Boston. And everybody knows in New England we grow fantastic apples. So it's kind of a ridiculous scenario, but it's very popular because big processing companies can make food very cheaply, and the school districts, if they're not thinking about this and it's not top of their priorities, they're looking at easy options. So that's how we've arrived at where we are today.
But the food system, Jill, that Fiona just described, though, isn't just the food system for many schools around the nation. It's essentially our food system in a nutshell. We are all eating foods from far, far away, processed in one place and then shipped to our homes. And it's all done because there are corporations that make money doing this, and it's a lot cheaper for us to feed this way. So as you tried to disrupt the system, what were the things you had to overcome? What were the things you thought to change?
Yeah. So, I mean, we looked at it from an economic standpoint first and foremost to see if the budgets would allow for feeding kids differently. And I think you're exactly right, right? Like the food business only grows as big as our stomachs grow as consumers. And so we are the receptacle and the producer of all of their profits. And that's fine, right? From a consumer perspective, we should be able to decide to eat whatever we want and to respond to whatever marketing gets pushed to us. But when you're talking about a USDA subsidy that is, you know, intended to feed and serve the most impoverished, the most needy of our country, I've built businesses and I've worked in the corporate private sector forever. It was a little disturbing that we're generating profit on the backs of some of our, you know, neediest citizens. And so when we looked at how do you shift the budget in order to spend it in a way where kids get access to better food? One, we realized, you know, in the city of Boston, and this is true across the country, lots of schools don't have kitchens. And so they have warming ovens and they have freezers. And that is why we have this packaged food business, right? We don't have any way to cook closely to the children. But if you put in these micro kitchens, which we developed alongside of private sector businesses who are serving fast casual meals to tens of thousands of consumers a day, we realize, wow, it's really pretty inexpensive to put in these kitchens. And so the initiative that's been happening in Boston is to outfit all of the schools with kitchens. As soon as we do that, we then can produce, you know, meals for kids directly in front of them. And so that changes the kind of food we can buy. We can buy all whole real food. It all comes directly into those kitchens. It's then chopped and sliced and diced and tossed with spices and sauces and cooked right in front of the kids. And the other thing we added to the mix, which actually has an was driven by economics, is we deconstructed meals. And we know kids like to actually choose, you know, they like to make choices. They don't want things on top of each other sometimes. And so our delivery system lets every kid choose what they want every day, which then also creates interactions with the staff. It creates conversations, community. It drives confidence in children who then decide what they want. They take it to the table, they eat it because it's been their choice. So there's all of these other ramifications of being able to deliver whole, real, delicious food to kids that we didn't really think about until we started to test it in the field. And so those things have been incredible. It's also helped us create three times as many local jobs. And all of this is happening for less than what we used to pay for the vending meal program.
So how has this turned out so far since the documentary, during the filming of the documentary? Do you have a sense, Jill, of how successful it's been?
Yeah, I mean, it's been incredibly successful. So that pilot that the film documents was with four schools. The decision was made that December to build 30 more kitchens in schools. So those 30 were built last summer. And then Food Nutrition Services rolled out this new program that we call My Way Cafe to 30 schools. And then next year, the mayor just made an announcement a couple of weeks ago that all of Dorchester and all of South Boston will receive My Way Cafe.
Jill Shaw is an entrepreneur, a philanthropist who's working to change the lunches served at Boston Public Schools. Fiona Turner is the director and producer of a documentary about this project. It's called Eat Up. The film is being screened at Boston's Museum of Fine Arts June 5th through June 9th. You can find more details about the film at nextnewengland.org. Fiona and Jill, thank you both for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.